Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products are pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume. Hey, what's up, y'all? T-Bob here, reminding you that you can come hang out with me and Aaron Murray live on AMP Monday through Thursday. AMP is a new live radio app. You just download it from the Apple Store. You can actually call in, text in, chat with us directly during the show. It's a ton of fun. We're at Snaps, right? Snaps, your favorite college football podcast, at Snaps Monday through Thursday, 1 Eastern, noon Central, on AMP. Download it and come hang out with us today. Hello, everybody, and welcome in. If it looks like I have a big cheesy grin on my face, it's because I do. It's for a couple of reasons. First off, I love doing the show every day. You know this. There's no better outlet for my juvenile humor and college football takes than what you are watching right now. But the greater part of why I'm smiling is that you are now watching once again on the Snaps Alone YouTube channel. Hold on, the Snaps Only. Our official Snaps YouTube channel. Shout out to The Volume for making this show happen. But I love now that we have our own little ecosystem where we can all hang out and there's nothing else that's going to bug you. So what I need from you, if you're listening, if you enjoy the show, you don't have to if you don't, but if you enjoy the show, like the post, subscribe to the channel, and hit the bell for notifications. We're going to be really annoying about this. We want to help grow the show and show to our bosses that people love it. I'm one of the hosts of Snaps. We talk college football every day here. I'm T-Bob Abier, and I'm joined, as always, by QB1. Fresh off some body work. Aaron Murray, how we feeling, bud?
Feeling limber and ready to go for golf at the end of the week. Snaps, nice. YouTube channel presented by The Volume. There you go.
T-Bob. Yeah, okay. Right. Is that okay? See, look. Cut I mean, right that's through. Why that guy's right in through. The booth, right? That's why that guy's in the booth. Succinct, to the point. Well, I'll never make a news.
No fluff.
I'm overly verbose. I'm wordy. I waste time. But we're gonna dive right in here in a second. I do agree with Jude McLaren, though. Best CFB podcast, real ones. No, that's right, dog. Yep. That's right. Let's do it. All right.
we got a lot to get to today. This is the other reason why I'm very excited, because if you have listened to Snaps, especially the fall, you've heard me reference blue chip ratio, probably to an annoying degree. This is Bud Elliott, who works for 247 Sports. I think he has a really big Florida State podcasting. Him and Cannell do a show together as well. But he came up with this. And I think he's looked at about 20 years of data at this point, and really since the recruiting rankings started to take off. And basically, a blue chip prospect is a 4 or a 5 star. The blue chip ratio is the percentage of your roster that is made up of 4 and 5 stars. And in the modern era, since they started tracking, again, we got almost 2 decades worth of data here, there has never been a national champion, Aaron, that was not above the 50% threshold, right? So it's fascinating when you look at these numbers and you see the ratios on these teams. First off, it tells us who's actually eligible to win a championship. Every now and then, a team sneaks into the playoff from the outside looking in, but you saw what happened when you're under 50% versus 77, like Georgia was last year. Yep. You saw Georgia TCU. Yep. So I'm not saying you can't make the playoff. This is not a good metric for individual games, but this will tell you, A, who's actually capable of winning a championship, and it'll be a great range finder for who we should be praising and who we should be shitting on, right? Who is overachieving, who is underachieving. And then we're also going to get to some other stuff today. Some players maybe going to hold out of NCAA. We'll get to all that. Okay, Aaron, as we start this conversation, I'm going to throw it to you in a second. I want our audience to remember one thing, though. When you're talking about recruiting, remember the recruiting golden rule, okay? It does not matter in the micro. It absolutely matters in the macro. What I mean about that, a single recruit, a 5-star, can go boom or buster at any time, right? You never quite know. Talent evaluation sucks. So, just because you get one guy doesn't mean anything. But when you look at class rankings and when you look at this chart, it's no surprise that all the best teams in the country are also the teams at the top of the chart, because in the macro, in the aggregate, it is a great indicator because, you're just more talented than the other team. So, bro, flash up the chart here. And this comes from 247 Sports, Bud Elliott. And Aaron, I want you to give me your, what jumps off the page when you see this image?
I just, where I'm going to go first is Georgia. I can't believe Georgia's at 77%. I thought they would be significantly higher, just the fact that the way Kirby is recruited over the past 5 years. I mean, it just seems like it's always 4 and 5-star guys, always a top 3 or 4 class, a couple of number one classes sprinkled in there. So I thought they would have been significantly higher than that. But the rest of the list doesn't.
77 is high, though. 77 is very high.
No, obviously it's high. It's the third highest. But you're telling me there's the Alabama's recruited that much better. They have that many more blue chippers on their roster. I guess number wise, I think that's another question too, is I want to know with this whole thing is how many players are on Alabama's roster compared to Georgia's roster? Is there a difference that kind of throws the numbers off a little bit? Could they possibly be closer? Because it's hard for me to look at Georgia's roster right now and say that Alabama is 13% better when it comes to blue chippers in Georgia. Would you agree with that?
So I would say this. Brandon the Exotic Barber says, I think they should count transfers out of the program and in the program. So right before the season starts, they will revisit this and they will do that. Yep. But up to this point, they've already done that. Like the numbers you are seeing include all of the spring transfers. This is not looking at recruiting classes. This is looking at the roster as it stands currently. And we got to remember, Alabama just put together an even better class than the A&M one that we celebrated so hard, right? Mm-hmm. So they were already last year, and I've got last year's charts pulled up on mine. Alabama was already at 90% last year, and then they got a record-setting class. So, of course, they remained right there. Ohio State had a pretty nice jump. They were at 78%. They jump up to 85%. But if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, instead of getting upset, you should probably feel good. Because the Bulldogs ratio last year, 77%. Okay. Kirby Smart has this thing steady as she goes. He is right down the line. No wobble, no transfers.
You need a couple humble 2 and 3-star guys that kind of just like the Ladd McConkeys of the world. Those guys that show up to campus. I actually talked to Ladd the other day, and part of it was about, kind of his untold story. in the sense of, you know, his motivation. You see all these 4 and 5 star guys getting all the reps, yep. and you kind of know that, hey, I got to maximize my few opportunities I get, whether it's in a game or in practice, to go out there and earn a starting job. So now you know you're going to get Ladd's best every single day of practice. You're going to get his best every single game, because in the back of his mind, the thought is they'll replace me at any moment with a 5-star. So you do. You need a couple of those, you know, guys that are going to raise the level of work ethic because of that chip on their shoulder by being a 2 or 3-star. It's a good thing.
It certainly is interesting. Right, because I'm very tempted to be cynical here and be like, what are you talking about? You don't need Rudy's. Give me the all-stars. But when you look, Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia, really, the big three are outliers on this list. Like, nobody's even really close, especially Ohio State and Alabama. And yet, what happened to Ohio State the last couple of years? Soft. They got bullied by Michigan because they weren't tough enough. What happened to Alabama? Yeah, they have all the talent in the world, but they seem to have lost some of that edge. What does Kirby Smart say about the Bulldogs? They're willing to eat off the fucking floor, okay? So right now, Smart has been able to maintain that edge, and maybe it is with a couple of kind of hand-picked Gruden grinders, if you will, versus just the pure superstars. That said, I always want more, right? I always want to be higher on this list because it just quite frankly gives me a better chance of winning. So,
okay, anyone on that list that surprised you? Is there anyone on that list that when you saw, you're like, I thought they would have been on there for sure?
Well, I will say this. The 90% for Alabama jumps off the screen. That is absurd. There's no way that 9 of 10 players should be 4 or 5 stars. It's just unreal. The big three certainly jump off the screen. Bama, Ohio State, Georgia. Yeah. Why are they top three every year? Look right here. Aaron, maybe in that 13% gap you're referencing between the Tide and the Dogs, maybe that's where some of the ESPN analytics earlier this year that you couldn't square with, maybe that's where some of that is coming in potentially. Also, kind of crazy how much shit we're talking about Bama when you look at a chart like this. So we'll see. But what jumps off the page to me, because I'm like basically a charter member of the College Football Haters Ball. Hate. I'm looking at all the people that are just failing fucking mightily. Texas A&M, fourth on the list at 73%. And what did they go last year? What was their final record? Was it 5-7? Not even bowl eligible? Are you kidding me? Had they not beaten LSU, would have finished tied for dead last in the SEC, and yet you have the fourth most talented team in the country? That is akin to a war crime. That is a college football war crime. It's just that Jimbo Fisher is so well protected in his gilded halls that you can't actually get to him. Texas and Oklahoma, to be at 70%. When there's not even another Big 12 team on the list, and to do what they did last year, which I believe finished 6, 7, 8, and 5, I want to say, that's pathetic. It's indefensible and inexcusable. This chart is why I'm so hard after Steve Sarkisian. And then, so to a lesser extent, kind of like the poor man's version of the Texas Oklahoma thing here, Florida and Miami being this high up. And being as bad as they are, another interstate rival, two very talented teams that were just absolute shit last year. So some of the teams, and then on the flip side of that, Aaron, like, again, they're all underachieving. Then I look at Michigan, 54%, and yet beating the hell out of those 4 stars up there at Ohio State. And you're like, okay, you have to credit Jim Harbaugh and the culture that he's created at Michigan.
Yeah, you do. They've changed it around, and I will come to the defense of Miami and Florida a little bit. Where, you know, I always use the phrase, and a lot of people do, like, it's not about the X and O's, it's about the Jimmys and the Joes. Like, it goes to what you've talked about. You amass enough of these big time players, most likely you're going to win football games. If I just line up and I'm bigger, faster, stronger than you, I'm going to whip your ass. This is a mono versus mono. This is I line up as a receiver against a DB, offensive lineman versus a defensive lineman. Linebacker versus a tight end, who's going to win those individual matchups? You have enough of those guys on your team, you're probably going to win the game. But it also does come down to coaching just a smidgen, okay? Like, we joke about the X's and O's and Jimmys and Joes. But like, if you do have coaches that can figure out ways to put you in the situation to have success, moving a tight end around, putting a star receiver in the slot, you know, the training techniques, like, all that does – go into account too. So my defense here to Florida, Miami, just a little bit here, because they are more talented than what their record showed last year, is the fact that they are brand new coaches last year, maybe coaches that are unproven, especially Florida, at the Power 5 level, a coach that you think is a big-time fraud at Miami, who may not be a great coach. So take, before we start dousing the program or dousing the players of, you know, you were overrated coming out of high school, let's also do the little bit of the nurture, you know, mentality a little bit too, of where who are they being taken care of by? And not saying, you know, four in a shithole right now, but first year head coach in the Power 5, I give them a little bit of grace.
Okay, so you're right. Okay, I obviously give Billy Napier more grace than Mario Cristofrod, okay? Because Billy Napier actually succeeded in his previous head coaching spots. Mario Cristofrod kind of has. I mean, I guess I'm going out of my way to kind of just like hand wave away his Oregon time, which is a little intellectually dishonest, but he doesn't really do anything great though. He didn't do anything that every other Oregon coach hasn't done recently. Like if you go to Oregon, you trip and fall into a 10-win season basically at this point. No, and I want to be clear, and I'm not coming at the players. I'm coming solely at the coaches. Like the players are what they are. The aggregate is what it is. This shows you that on average, Texas and Oklahoma are at least, because I don't know where the other Big 12 teams even rank, so we'll just say at least 20% more talented than their Big 12 opponents. And yet they're getting their ass kicked. That's inexcusable. Okay? Brent Venables, I'll give you a little bit of grace because it's year one as well. But Sark and Cristofrod, Jimbo, no. I love the question, biggest war criminal as well here in the chat. Captain Spartan 04 says, as a Louisville fan, screw Kentucky, go Tigers. Already singing Colin Baton Rouge. Also, thanks for Aaron. Recommend Q39 Barbecue in Kansas City. The burnt ends were amazing. Hell yeah, wow. Dude. This is lastly,
very
another
good
$5 super chat. What y'all think about Big Ten kicking Rutgers out for Stanford? Besides men's basketball, they're better in every sport and they're smarter. So on the first one, fuck yeah, go Tigers, beat Kentucky, road to Omaha, let's go. By the way, if Hayden Travinsky hits a 3-run home run this year for LSU, I will be here with a mustache and soul patch only next week. I don't like it, but this is what being a local radio man is when you have to make bets on air. Secondly, I don't give a damn about Rutgers, and I feel very bad if there's any Rutgers fans listening, though there's probably not, because I only think there's like 100 to 200 Rutgers football fans actually in existence. So if you're asking me, sure, fuck yeah, I would take Stanford over Rutgers if I was the Big Ten.
Yeah. Big shout out, though. Yes, obviously I'm taking Stanford too. Like, kick their ass out, add some more West Coast teams, get Washington, get Oregon, get Stanford, get, I don't know, Cal, whatever. Just add those four teams and all will be well in the world. A big shout out, though, because I don't know, do you have this from last year? Because this is impressive. For USC last year,
yep,
and we dogged them for like how bad the defense is. The defense is so bad. The defense is so bad. To do what they did, to be essentially a game away from making the playoffs, as being a team that was under 50%,
they were not on the list.
Kind of gone over that 50% mark at 52% right now. How much are you kind of wishing that you were back on that petite Trojan gang and not with your stupid corn hub?
Okay. Well, time out. I'm allowed one loyalty per Power 5, okay? So Big Ten, we're corn boys. You already know this.
Wow.
But Pac-12, shout out Corn Hub. Subscribe now. Like and subscribe. I got some great videos going up on the Hub later. Wait until you see what I did with this cob of corn. It was a big corn cob as well. In the Pac-12, though, even though I really like USC, it's Washington. For me this year, they're just way more likable. I love Penix power. The Penix pump's going to be going on all year long. I have yet to decide on a Big 12 team. I have yet to decide on an ACC team.
Texas. Texas. Florida State.
Texas. You want me?
Just do it.
Never Texas T-Bob.
Just
do it.
Just do it.
Cheer. Okay. You're right, dude. No, you're right. Here we go, baby.
They need you.
Get the fuck out of here. Horns down.
We go. Trojan boys to Texas right there. Nice and easy for you.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, combine the two. What do you get? You get the shocker, okay? Because that's what happens when you cheer for USC and Texas. You're perennially disappointed. Okay. Once again, juvenile sexual innuendo aside, you have really hit on something here with USC, Aaron, because not only does USC become the only new team added to the blue chip ratio mix. There were 15 teams last year. There's 16 teams this year. But if we look in the past, the lowest ever percentage national champions were 2013 Florida, who won a national championship with just 53%, and 2016 Clemson, who won a national championship with 52%. How do you think that? What's the common denominator that those two teams have?
Elite quarterback play.
Bam. Okay. And now we got USC right there, 52%, and a better quarterback, maybe even than Jameis and Deshaun Watson. So USC feels very well positioned to make a push here.
I'm sipping the cooler now, and they're on fire at the moment. There's an article that came out today about USC kind of starting to really feel like the USC of the early 2000s, the Pete Carroll USC, where they're recruiting across the country. They are starting to own the state of California a little bit more. They're obviously winning or competing for championships on that side in year one. They got Heisman winning quarterbacks. Like, this feels like the beginning of something really, really good. Like, I don't think that all of a sudden year two, USC kind of peaked in year one, and all of a sudden you may see a little bit of a dip in year two. I'm sipping it. Like, you know, I was sipping it last year with the Petit Trojan boys. I firmly believe you're going to see a team now that is just a little bit better on defense, that could be even better on offense, is going to be right there as one of the final four teams at the end of the season. Even when I think we had a little poll in our group chat the other day, I had him as one of my final four. So yeah, they are now putting together a complete roster on both sides of the football. And I think this is just the beginning. I think next year you're going to see that team start to creep up to even probably high 50s, low 60s with the way they're recruiting at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the momentum is, you're right, the momentum is massive. Like, this is the beginning, not the ceiling for USC. Yeah. I fully expect USC to eventually break into the kind of the elite of the elite is the 70% threshold. Yep. I mean, last year you only had the big three above 70% after transfers were taken into account. This year it seems like a few more have managed to sneak in, but I think SC will eventually get there. Other things. Oh, but one thing that does jump out, and I think Jude McLaren's sharp here in the chat, right on it, says Dan Lanning versus Lincoln is going to be fun to watch. And unless I'm wrong, I don't think I'm seeing – actually, Miami – had maybe the biggest jump on here, because after transfer last year, they actually dropped down to 49. They're back up to 61% now. But look at Oregon, okay? Oh, no, I apologize. Excuse me. I'm wrong. Oregon was 56% last year. They're now at 67. An 11-point percentage jump for Oregon. Dan Lanning making that roster significantly better in a short amount of time. So he, too, is powering up at the same time that USC. He, too, has an elite returning quarterback. We could be crowning the Trojans maybe a little too early on here.
What was A&M last year with after that major recruiting class? Because obviously a lot of those guys have left this offseason. I mean, that elite class that Jimbo brought in a year ago, I mean, kind of has disappeared a little bit. Do you have their numbers from what they were last year?
A&M was 69% post transfers. Oh, well, so no, they have better. Actually gone up. Yeah, they have gone up a little bit. Because I'm trying to think about what the exact reasoning would be. They lost a lot of guys, but they still had, you know, top five class after top five class. So yeah. I'm just guessing that they still, you know, even after losing guys, they were just still chock full of four and five stars. And maybe you had like some three stars transfer out as well that we didn't talk about as much. But no, A&M's fourth in the country right now. What about this? Clemson kind of jumps off this page, coming in at fifth.
What's surprising
there?
Well,
I thought the whole argument with Clemson is that they don't have the horses anymore. I mean, that's what you're always telling me. They don't have the weapons.
Well, they don't have the receivers. Yes. Like, once again, just because you recruited 4- and 5-star guys doesn't mean they're going to be 4- and 5-star guys. And you're going to have dips at certain positions every now and then where you take 2 or 3 receivers in a couple classes and maybe you just whiff on all 3 of them. And they're just good, not great. I think the problem with Clemson is they were so elite at that position. Like for a long mm-hmm. time, Clemson and quarterback play, Clemson and receiver play was some of the best we've ever seen. Same with Alabama. I mean, Alabama took a massive dip last year at the receiving position too. And I would say probably 90% of teams would have loved to have Alabama's receivers. I would say probably the majority of teams in college football would have loved to have Clemson receivers last year. It's just from their standard of excellence for Clemson wideouts, it was a massive drop. Once again, not saying the guys are bad. It's just there's no Hopkins or Sammy Watkins. Like there wasn't any of those guys that were first rounders, difference makers. Give me a bubble screen. Watch me take it to the house. So yes, they may be 4 stars. They're not first rounders. There's a little bit of a gap there.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics and NIL deals, JLabs joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Do you agree with this comment from Nick Talent? Clemson is just a great QB away from being in the playoffs. Their schedule allows me to play up every year with a good QB. I mean, I don't know, Aaron. You look around at this list. You know what else I don't see on this list? Another ACC team. I don't see Florida State.
I'm surprised FSU. North Carolina. That's the one that surprised me a little bit. Florida State was the one that jumped to me when I looked at this. It's like, wow, I'm a little bit surprised that that brand and that state and kind of how I feel like they should recruit and have recruited, that they're not over that 50% mark.
Also, Clemson, a 10% jump as well. So pretty damn good for them. LSU with a 9% jump. They get into 71%. So expectations remain rightfully high for the Tigers, as they should. But it is weird to, again, one of the things that I keep coming back to, I feel like this is, like if you were fortune telling, I feel like this is some sort of dark omen when it comes to Alabama, where we've been shitting on him. We've been saying they're going to go 10-2. They're losing. They should. They lost all their production. They lost their quarterback. They lost all their coaches. Right. But they still have the main foundation of college football, what is just bigger, faster, stronger guys, 90%. Here. I guess the only thing I'm saying is, even as much shit as I've talked about Alabama, be wary of taking them too lightly, because obviously this team's potential is as high as any others.
No one will take Alabama lightly. Like, everyone knows Nick Saban's still the head coach. Everyone still knows that, you know, they are littered with 4- and 5-star guys. Like, I don't think like LSU is going to go into Tuscaloosa next year saying, oh, we're going to go beat their ass because they don't have Bryce Young at quarterback or Will Anderson at defensive end. Like, these guys, you have to understand, these guys have competed against each other and have known each other for years now. I mean, what did you do? Maybe you didn't do as much as I did, but like, what did you do when you were getting recruited? You were looking at the 24/7s, at the ESPNs, at the rivals, and kind of saying like, okay, here's all the top guys. Where are they going? And they're all seeing these guys go to Alabama.
What were you ranked?
I was pretty high. It's pretty high.
Oh, really?
Depends on what side.
Oh, okay, really? Because I was the number two center in the country, bitch. Woo!
So you looked at it too. But you know, because you faced these guys and you've watched them closely in high school as a player, you know that they're stacked. So, like, no one is taking them lightly. I will say this. They were the same last year as they were this year when it comes to the talent, the number 4- or 5-stars, the percentage of blue chippers. But just like I talked about them at the receiver and just like I talked about Clemson at the receiving position, they're missing the big one. And what's the big one in today's game? It's the quarterback spot. That's the issue. Like, that is, it's not that they don't have a bunch of 4- and 5-star guys at offensive line and defensive line and linebacker and the secondary. It's the fact that in today's game, the position you need to ball out the most is not there this year. So, and experience a little bit too. I think there's a little bit of an experience factor. Oh,
sorry. No, so then there's, by the way, me being the number two center just proves how, again, and the micro recruiting is fucking pointless. Because I think like both Clint Bowling and David Andrews, names that you Georgia fans should be very familiar with, were like 3 stars and everybody thought they were nothing. And then they went both to be like badass NFL players for like a decade, basically a piece. but with that quarterback thing in mind, Aaron, I mean, come on, Sark. You got the 70%. You got the returning quarterback in Quinn Ewers. He clearly is the guy. There's no Arch Manning threat. None of that bullshit. You saw it coming out of spring. Quinn Ewers is clearly a cut above. Sark has to win the Big 12. I know you like Oklahoma too, but Sark has to. And really, they should be beating Oklahoma. If Brent Venables doesn't win 10 games this year, he's not it, coach. If Sark doesn't win 10 games this year, that's fireable, in my opinions. These are the standards that these teams should be held to with the talent that they have amassed.
Yeah. I'm with Texas. I'm with both. I mean, and you, I think you said it earlier, like the difference is significant. It's not like these guys are in the 70s and there's a couple right behind them that are nipping at their heels. Like, what is the next most talented team in the Big 12? Oklahoma State? Maybe TCU's done a good job on the transfer portal list, but like, none of these teams can sniff their jockstraps when it comes to the amount of talent that they have, 4- or 5-star guys. Like, you line up, you see those two teams take off the uniforms, take out the colors, and you have those two teams walk out of a bus, and you get the rest of the pack, Big 12, to walk out of a bus, you'd say there's no chance. There's no chance. They're bigger, they're faster, they look better. So then it does come. I agree with you. It does come to coaching. I don't think Sark seats a little bit hotter. I think 9 games keeps him alive. You don't want to fire him after 9-win season heading into the SEC.
Yeah. Why would you?
Maybe.
All Sark does is win 9 games. Remember, Steve Sarkisian does not have a 10-win season anywhere on his resume as a head coach. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find the guy that has gotten more major jobs or gotten paid more money to never even have a double-digit win in college football. I think Notre Dame looks really strong here. 65% independent. I want to say, Notre Dame always has a tough schedule. I was going to say they probably got a pretty tough schedule. But, like, I think Notre Dame, the more I think about it, we were doing that list. Did I put Notre Dame on my 4 playoff team list? I mean, I have questions offensively, certainly, and how they're going to replace Tommy Rees. But, like, Notre Dame might. I kind of like them to have a bit more of a chance. What?
Don't let Pauly get into your mind. I think they're top 15. I just don't think they have the horses on the outside. I think which team do, based on their schedule, they play Ohio State and Notre Dame, and I don't know where they play USC. I still think USC is more talented.
They play, I got it right here. Okay, so they play USC at home October 14th. So both teams will have time to come into their own. They'll play Ohio State 2 weeks before that. Excuse me, a month roughly, 3 weeks before that.
Both at home.
September 23rd at home. Both at home. Get one of those two, and you're probably in the playoff.
Yeah, but then you have to go to Clemson.
You got to go at Clemson. Shit. Yeah.
Yes.
God, USC really does challenge themselves. Like, you can hate on them all. Excuse me. Yeah. Notre Dame really does challenge themselves schedule-wise. You can hate on them all they want, but like, because they're not in a conference. But, I mean, not many teams have three. Only two, exactly, right? SEC, take notes, you fucking bums. But not many teams have a big three opponents that would match up with the Irish's, Ohio State, USC, and Clemson. I mean, that's insanity. In fact, let's go back to our chart here. Is that three of the top five? That's not true. USC's down 52%. I'm an idiot, whatever. You get the point, though. Credit to Notre Dame, 65%, solid job by Marcus Freeman. And then you got to give Jim Harbaugh his roses again. For Michigan to be beating Ohio State with that disparity and really just to be beating the shit out of him. Aaron, is what you're always – it's a culture win, okay? That's the nurture part of it. That's coaching. That's environment. And that's toughness. And that's sometimes what these – bigger teams fall. And the last thing I'll say, Auburn, they're weird, man.
Still
but this is the potential of Auburn, right? They're paying $70 million to coaches that aren't there. They're a laughing stock. Everybody's always clowning them. And yet here they sit. They've got more NIL money than anybody to spend somehow. And they're right here, even with years and years of bad headlines. They are still above the 50% threshold that nobody could seem to get past. So, the potential of Hugh Freeze and Auburn remains sky high.
Yeah. Auburn's weird, man. I just feel like they're that type of team that every few years, all of a sudden, they have a season in which they're contending to win the SEC. And they're contending to possibly be in the playoffs or win a national championship. It's like, I don't know how you survive as an Auburn fan with all the inconsistencies. I mean, even when I was at Georgia, man, it was like, man, they were shit. They were national champs. Then they were shit for 2 years.
Oh, I know. They were
back in the natty. So like, they're natty. We were beating their ass by 40 points a game the next 2 years. And then they're back in the national championship the fourth year. It's like, how does Auburn, that?
Auburn and LSU weird, is a bit man. Of this as They're well. Weird. Auburn and LSU have always reminded me of like barbarian family, cultures. Well, like barbarian cultures of the past, right? Where I always think about somebody like the Mongols, right? Where these warriors are incredibly powerful, but majority of the time, they're too fucking stupid and they're just infighting. They're sniping one another. Nobody can get on the same page. They're just like raiding each other's lands, fucking each other's women. But every now and then you have a warlord that emerges. And when the Genghis Khan, the Temujin, when the right guy comes along, he unites the clans and they just fucking sweep over everybody, right? We were talking Game of Thrones earlier. Like when you have a Khal Drogo at Auburn or LSU, that's, watch out, okay? That's why Brian Kelly is so potentially scary.
I get it for LSU, but LSU has the bigger brand. Like, I just don't Auburn, to me, it's still, in my mind, is the redhead stepchild. I mean, yeah, LSU is LSU. They own the state. There's talent there. They're going to get the first pick. Like, I can see LSU kind of having the highs of the highs of the highs. I just don't – it's hard. It's still amazing to me that we've seen Auburn get to those national championship opportunities in the past decade and win one. I'm like, they don't have the monster brand. They don't.
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, it's just weird to me. The chat, LSU's not had the lows that Auburn has, because you're right. When the bottom falls out, it really falls out. The one team we haven't even mentioned here by name, Penn State, 55%. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to Nittany Lion fans, but it just feels like Penn State's going to go 11-2. You know, they'll take care of business against everybody. They'll lose to Ohio State and Michigan. They'll play for a New Year's Six Bowl. It'll be like another solid-ass year of Penn State football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you have any other thoughts? I'm excited on Drew Aller.
I think if there's going to be a year that Penn State maybe wins one of those games, this is the year. You finally have a quarterback that is at the same level. I mean, the guy they've had in the past couple of years, I'm drawing a blank on his name, good leader, but doesn't really push the needle when it comes to Sean Clifford, when it comes to like, hey, this guy may be the most athletic and most talented quarterback on the field. This year, Penn State will have the most talented quarterback when they face Ohio State and when they face Michigan. Yeah, he's a little bit less experienced than Michigan's quarterback, but when it comes to talent, they finally have the quarterback that's more talented in these matchups.
Yeah, I think okay. So you think is it Aller or Alar? How are we saying it?
I think it's Aller.
Have you ever read King Killer Chronicles by Patrick Rothfuss? They always talk about your Alar and how strong your Alar is, and that's how you're like better at the magic that they use. So get ready if Penn State is good for a lot of King Killer Chronicles jokes that will only land with about 3% of the listening audience. But the 3% are going to get a hell of a time out of it. While we're here, guys, I cannot recommend enough the first two King Killer Chronicles books. We've been waiting on the third for about a decade now, but Aaron, I know you're a Harry Potter guy. My favorite fantasy I have ever read as an adult, full stop, Name of the Wind and Wise Man's Fear. This is not a magazine. It's a book.
That kind of fantasy. Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah. No. No, that's what Cornhub is for. Okay. Speaking of Duralo, you know where he's going to be soon? Down in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Manny Pass. Did you go to Manny Pass Academy? Did you go down to the
I went 1 year and I was counselor of the year. I was voted counselor of the year. Yeah.
Wow. Was it because like you were so short that they found you approachable because you were like the same size as them?
Yeah, they just thought I was like a normal camper that was just there.
Hey, this kid's good. Where's he go to high school? But real talk. Give me like some Manny. Take me behind the scenes. What's it like with like Peyton? Because for those that don't know, Thibodaux, Louisiana is Cajun country, Louisiana. It's at Nicholls State. Which is a college down here, go Colonels. It's not big. It's not big at all. No. And yet you have like John Gruden and Roxas and Peyton and Eli and Cooper have never missed a camp. Like you have the NFL star of stars suddenly in this random Cajun town, Louisiana. So what's it like when you show up?
When I show up, they love the Mannings. That's for sure. I think the one thing that was funny to me, I think this was a year after Eli won a Super Bowl. Eli won a Super Bowl recently. Ooh. And I think possibly at the time that he actually had more Super Bowl wins than Peyton. And obviously there's three brothers. There's Arch, there's Peyton, there's Eli. And they treat Eli like the little bitch of the family. And it is just so funny that they just pick on him and treat him like the little brother. I'm like, the dude just won a Super Bowl. There's one more Super Bowl than you. But they're like, hey, Eli, go get us beers. Hey, Eli, go get us a burger. Hey, Eli, go do this. He let Eli, and I'm just like, damn, bro. Like, you are literally no he's respect little, at all.
Dude, and
just
Cooper,
he's right? Brother, like, the whole dynamic. And Cooper's hilarious. Cooper's on the bars, dancing, drinking.
My little brother said Cooper Manning is like the funniest. Well, no, hold on. It's Cooper, Peyton, and Eli. Arch is Cooper's son. But my little brother who played quarterback in Nichols, so he was a counselor
Archie,
as well.
I meant Archie the
father. Oh, Archie. Yeah. Yes, there you go. My bad. Archie said that Cooper Manning's like Cooper Manning's one of the funniest people alive.
Yeah, the life of the party. But so it is.
Were you partying with Johnny Manziel?
It's a lot of drinking. Oh yeah. No, Johnny was a year after. I didn't go the following year.
Damn.
Yeah. It's a lot of drinking. It's a lot of football. And then there's more drinking and more drinking.
And you know what's funny? And let's be clear. I do believe that Cajun women are very good looking, but I have never seen so many good looking people suddenly pop out of a place where they were not previously. Like, I just remember being shocked when I used to go down there in college and go visit my little brother. He'd be like, oh my God, this is unreal. So going this year from LSU, you got Jane Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier. You got Michael Pratt from Tulane. Here's some local names. Arch Manning's going. Quinn Ewers is going. Drake May, Michael Penix, Shedeur Sanders, Drew Allar, Jackson Dart, Grayson McCall, Joe Milton. Remember Austin Reed from West Kentucky throws about 7,000 yards a season. John Rhys Plumlee, Cam Rising, Will Rogers. So like everybody's there except Caleb Williams. Citing scheduling concerns. Bad omen?
No, listen, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner in an NIL era, he's probably doing a million different things this summer. Like he is probably
Manning's don't play that shit. I don't care. Manning's don't play that game. You come kiss the ring or you end up ostracized. Now, I want to say that Archie publicly gave him the pass. I don't think, you know, he said that he's got scheduling conflicts, but all I'm saying is just, you know, be careful. Caleb Williams.
Who's the kid that didn't go that got a lot of shit the past couple of years?
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to remember as well. I just remember talking about the story. And then obviously the Manziel stuff was a very big deal as well.
Yeah, but Manziel.
Was it Will Levis?
Oh, CJ Stroud.
Oh, CJ Stroud, yeah.
CJ Stroud skipped out of it.
CJ.
Yeah. Did it though? We don't know. I mean, he didn't win a Natty, did he? He didn't win a Heisman, did he? He may not be any good. He got drafted by the Texans, the worst landing spot out of the bunch. I don't know if it did work out, Aaron. I think Manning voodoo magic got used against him. And Marvin Harrison, if CJ Stroud shows up in Thibodeau, Marvin Harrison Jr. does not get hurt in the semis. Fucking book it. Okay? Only show that's going to connect those dots right here. Snaps, like, and subscribe. There we go, boys.
It's a good time. Johnny did the right way. Johnny did what he was supposed to do. Get drunk, have a good time.
He left, literally the one thing he did not do it was the right way. And in fact, nobody's ever done it more wrong than Johnny Manziel.
I'm trying to remember, did he leave or did he get kicked out?
No, he got kicked out. He literally got kicked out by the Mannings.
He went too far. He went too far. There's like a point of like, you need to get this drunk at the Manning Academy, but not this drunk. And he got
exactly.
Yeah, just a little bit on a scale of
again
10 being the too drunk. You got to get 8.
Johnny what happened to Johnny Manziel after that? Okay, exactly. You know, you got to watch out, dude.
It went to Cleveland. He got drafted by Cleveland, which was at the time was also a graveyard of quarterbacks.
I mean, dude, do I have to connect any more dots? I think it's very interesting that Shedeur Sanders is going, actually. Do you think Prime's going to show up?
Why?
Can you imagine being at a bar in Thibodeau and see Prime and freaking Peyton and Eli? That'd be crazy, dude. That'd be super
cool. I'm not surprised. I think, I mean, if you get an invite, 9 out of 10 times you're going, unless you have a scheduling conflict like Caleb. It's a big deal, man. It's a lot of noise. That whole throw off with the college quarterbacks that one night is a hell of a time. The rumors that come out of that and the discussions of what guys are now moving up the draft board based on their performance against their peers. It's like a mini, they literally put together almost a mini combine for the college quarterbacks that one night. And well, you kind of get a feel of like which guy is more legit than the other.
Also, if this is a bit of an LSU deep cut, but it was at the Manning camp when Joe Burrow was doing an interview, and this was after 2018, but before 2019, right? So this is when Joe Burrow is still, everybody's like, he's all right, you know, he's got a little gumption, but he's not that good. Joe Burrow sat there, and in the interviews, he told the media that LSU was going to score 40 points a year. And we all laughed. We're like, what the fuck are you? Have you watched LSU football for the last 15 years? Like, there's no chance. And then they went and scored like 50 a game, basically. Yeah. So Manny Kemp's cool, man. A lot going on. I think we're a bit too deep in the show to do this naturally. I was going to throw to Angie's List. One of the proud sponsors of Snaps here on Volume, youtube.com/@VolumeSnaps. Like, bottom line, I'm a homeowner. I'm an idiot. And I was trying to fix the siding in my house, having no idea what I was doing. And I bought black caulk for some reason. And I got jet black caulk all over a like white siding. Like, it was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. Just, it looks so fucking stupid. And the point is, I needed it fixed. What I do? I hop on Angie. Okay. Got great reviews. I can look at local people. And next thing you know, bada bing, bada boom, professionals in my area. Mm-hmm. I'm good to go. For all of your homeowning needs, download Angie, user made for you in your area. Let's see what else we have here. I did want to talk a little bit about this. We got like 5 minutes here, maybe. But it's coming out, Aaron, that some players may be holding out of the new NCAA game. Remember, we learned that according to On3, they're about to be getting $500. That's the estimate. About $5 million to the total payer pool, which is a bit low out of total pool, right? About $5 million, which equates to about $500 a player. And there's some talk, or at least the idea, that some of the best players might hold out. Would you hold out?
Don't do it.
More money.
No, God, no. I mean, most of these kids played the game as little kids and dreamed of being on the game. And now that finally opportunities come, this isn't a, let's just go for Caleb, for instance, because if there's going to be someone to hold out, it's going to be Caleb Williams. Caleb, you're making $2 million right now, $2 million. Are you really going to hold out for another 20K? Say you want 20K to be on the game, or 10K. Just say you want 10K, what the NFL guys get. I want 10. Is that 10K really going to move the needle for you when you're making $2 million a year and you have an opportunity to be on the video game that you grew up watching? Like, come on. Like, let's go. And you're about to be your first round pick in the NFL draft and make $20, $30 million. It's just like,
No, look.
I don't know.
So I feel you.
He's got enough deals now that, and I'm not pinpointing, I'm not out here trying to say that Caleb's the one that would do this. I'm just saying if anyone deserves to say, no, I need more money, it would be Caleb Williams. I just think that he's making enough money right now that, man, just that the thought of just being on the game should be the most important thing.
Yeah, the thing is, though, if there's one human truth, it's that people always love more money, right? Like, no matter how much you have, fuck, look at the PGA. But no matter how much you have, you always just want more. Even though, look, I think there is something real to the idea that, like, some players will be pissed off about, like, a backup third-string freshman running back getting paid as much as the three-year starting quarterback. But at the end of the day, for me personally, even though I'm normally always on the side of labor, I feel a bit like a captain of industry here. Like, okay, you don't want to be in the game? We got scabs. We can replace you immediately. Like, nobody's buying the game for you anyway. It's nice if you're there, but if you're not, I have enough people that are. People want to see the stadiums. They want to see the brands. They want to hear the fight songs. They want to do dynasty mode. They want to recruit fake players that don't even exist. Listen, like, the draw.
There's maybe 10. Yeah, there's maybe 10 elite players in college football that would deserve a little bit more money, that deserve maybe negotiate. You know what you do with that? You know, and for you brought the $5 million. You're only spending $5 million. You take a separate pool of money, 50K, whatever it is, and you invite these guys to a launch party. You invite these guys to post on social media, like, hey, the game's out. Make sure you go here and out. Like, you spend advertising dollars for those guys to make them happy. Everyone else, which Madden congratulations, does. You're on the Madden game. Does that. Here's a super tight pool. Yeah.
Madden does that with guys outside of the flat fee that they pay that they play the collective as a whole. I also think, actually, quarterback from UCLA, Chase Griffin, has some like incredibly well thought out thoughts on the matters. And he brings up maybe some sort of rev share. You're never going to get a lot, but maybe it's like half a point, maybe a point, where athletes, you like the same, like if you can split $5 million between everybody, well, then you split, you know, a point of the gross profits, right? Or a point of the gross revenue, or maybe a point of the profits, or half point. I'm not smart enough business wise to know what that is, but some sort of red share would probably go a long way towards just stamping any of this kind of dissension out. Thomas Dare says they better pay me if they show me sitting in my season tickets on the game. Yeah, I mean, look, you should Ed O'Bannon take it to court. Get Gordon on. That's me right there. Look in section 111-30A. That's me right there, dude. I will say this though, I do think EA has the leverage in this situation for all the reasons we just named. So just go in the game, dude. Just go in the game so we can play it here on the Snaps YouTube channel. Okay, Aaron, we'll leave you this.
We just can't use their names. So that's it.
That's true. How about this to end the show? Blake Walters, who do you think's the cover athlete, and will there be multiple covers?
Ooh. So this is not coming out this year. This is coming out 2024.
Yep, true. Okay, great point. Yes.
Yeah. So Caleb's not even going to be in the game, so we're not even worried about Caleb.
Well, back in the day, it used to be a player who had just graduated, right?
I think it's not going to be anymore. I mean, they could. I'm thinking now that you can pay the kids and use their name, image, and likeness, you'd get a current player.
I think so too.
It's going to be Quinn Ewers, Texas. He's going to have a monstrous year. They're going to go 11-2, and Texas is, you know, the big brand of Texas moving to the SEC. Quinn Ewers is going to get on the cover.
I hate it. But if you want to talk about things that make sense, like if Quinn Ewers did have a year, maybe like Texas gets close, they win the Big 12, they make a playoff, like 1,000%, it's going to be Quinn Ewers on the cover. Who would I put on? No, Penix is going to be done. Nix is going to be done.
You think big brand.
I know. Like whoever the new Ohio State quarterback is will have a chance because he'll probably throw for 50 touchdowns. Drew Allar ended up being really good, EA would love to put a Penn State boy on the cover.
I think so.
I feel like Penn State is one of the classic college football brands. I think the cover athlete's going to be Matt Rhule. You know, after Nebraska takes the world by storm, it's going to be Hudson. No, wait. Who's their quarterback? Who's Nebraska quarterback again this year?
Oh my God, again? Really? Biggest Corn Hub fan in the whole world. Don't even know who the quarterback is.
They're jumping all over the place nowadays, dude. I don't know. Oh, that's true. Maybe Coach Prime, Nick says. Maybe Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders would be a hefty bet if he balls out. Prime moves the needle. Wait, but Aaron, who's a Nebraska quarterback?
It's former quarterback at Georgia Tech.
Oh, Jeff Sims. Yes, that's right, baby. I forgot. How could you forget being a Georgia fan and that just heated rivalry y'all have with the Ramblin' Wreck?
I hope they keep it when they expand the SEC. I hope they just make sure they keep the non-conference rivalries alive too. Can't lose that game for Tech.
Can't lose that game versus Tech. You would hate to lose an automatic Power 5 win every year on the schedule. Yeah. Just brutal. Travis Hunter, Arch, those are all great as well. All right, look, hey, y'all. Maybe not for next year. Going into the future. Like if Arch ever becomes a starter and does well, he's 1,000% going to end up on the cover of an NCAA game.
Yes.
Maybe not Travis Hunter. All right. Hey, this is the show, y'all. Thank you so much. If you're listening on podcasts, please rate it and review it, whether it's Apple, Spotify, share with your friends. We are less than 100 days away from college football. We're going to be cranked up this fall, y'all. And please, again, we're going to be annoying. Help grow the YouTube channel. Like it. Subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. Tell your moms about it. Tell your dads about it. Tell your girlfriend about it. Tell your girlfriend's boyfriend about it. Tell everybody you know about the Snaps YouTube channel. Aaron, thank you so much. Blake Walters said, didn't Aaron lose to Georgia Tech twice?
No, 4-0. 4-0, Blake. Don't disrespect him like that. Don't disrespect him like that. Fuck. 4-0. Wow.
Those pit stains, dude. I'm sweating a little bit here in the studio, dude.
Wow. What? Raise your arms up there, Harry Furry Murray. No, that's a sweat wicking shirt. I'm in cotton. You're in like a golf.
Who the fuck wears cotton shirts?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's my OTV shirt.
That's your fault. That's your damn fault.
That's a Danny Cardenas original right there. Yeah. Yeah. And Thomas says like Aaron would ever wear cotton. True.
Yeah. True.
All right. We love y'all. Thank you so much. We'll see you back tomorrow right here. Same Snaps time, same Snap channel for a brand new episode of Snaps.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.